Every year, one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services, so your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. It's like your own personal post office. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
The infamous gangland figure John Traynor has died of terminal cancer, having survived several assassination attempts. Traynor, who at one point was second in command to John Gillingham, is described as having the blood of many men, many journalists on his hands, including the late Veronica Guerin. Now, to talk about John Traynor's ignoble legacy is the crime correspondent with the Irish Independent and author of his new book just out on Gilligan, is Paul Williams. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you came across John Traynor. You weren't just writing about him. You actually face-to-face with him many times.
Oh, I got to know him very, very well through the years. And that was when his close friend, who he had worked very closely with, Martin Cahill, the general, was murdered by the IRA. And we got to talking around that time because I was doing a book on Cahill, and he agreed to cooperate with me. It was a great source and great help and actually provided a lot of very solid information. But as usual, there was a deal to be done, and the deal was that I wouldn't mention his name and I wouldn't expose him in the Sunday World at the time. John Traynor was an extraordinary character, a classic sociopath, a fraudster by his nature. He was, I suppose to describe him, he was a coward, he was duplicitous, he was a manipulative, mendacious character, but he was also at the same time an exceptionally clever, enterprising, and had oodles of charisma and charm. And that's how he meandered or navigated his way through life and never ended up, and it is an extraordinary achievement for him at 73, and I've been watching him and knowing him for nearly 30 years, that he has actually died the way he has, which for want of better description is probably natural causes, because how he wasn't shot many years ago, I'll never know, because of the fact that he played games with everybody. He was also an informant. He would sell his mother if he had to the police. He would rip off one criminal, or he would turn off one criminal against another. He was just one of these guys. In gangland terms, he would have been described probably best as a fixer, somebody who was always in the background pulling the strings, and that's where he liked to be, and that's the way he for example operated with John Gilligan. He helped John Gilligan set up the first major and the biggest drug trafficking operation this country had ever seen. But he preferred, even though he was the central brains behind it all, and Gilligan really depended on his entrepreneurial ability, he preferred to stay in the background. And in a lot of ways, that's why, even though he was involved, he had the information. He gave the Gilligan gang the information about where Veronica was going to be in June of 1996, led to her murder, even though he had her shot in the leg. You know, and he actually later admitted to me that he was there when the planning from Veronica's murder was taking place. But because of that innate cleverness and cuteness or connivance or whatever you want to call it, he always stayed a safe distance away from everything, so that even when informants came forward and Supergrasses turned state's evidence against the Gilligan gang, there was no evidence against Traynor. There was nobody to give any solid evidence against him. And that's why he effectively, he got away with the murder of Veronica Guerin. He was very much a co-conspirator and all of that, but he was just too clever for everybody.
Now, he got out of town after the murder of Veronica Guerin and never actually returned to Ireland. But just going back a bit, he didn't come from a classic criminal family, did he?
No, he didn't. He came from quite a respectable family. His father was an electrician by trade, a very enterprising man by all accounts. They grew up originally on Charlemont Street and moved then for a short while to Crumlin, and then the family moved down to Kildare, where the father owned a pub and had a greyhound track. And he went to Sing Street School, Traynor. As I say, he was a naturally very intelligent guy, very handsome guy as well, a big, tall, strong fella. In fact, he was very often mistaken for a Garda, and indeed often pretended to be a Garda. But he finished after primary school, he didn't go back to school again, and then he went to work with the family business. But he had a sort of an insatiable appetite for money and spending it and the high life. He was an incorrigible serial philanderer, and he liked getting money the easy way, which was through crime, and his natural inclination was to crime. And that's why he starts his career path. He's part of the Brat Pack, original Brat Pack of criminals like Martin Cahill. John Gillian and him were very close right back to the 60s. George Mitchell, the Penguin, all that group of characters. But he specialised, along with Frank Delam Cunningham, for example, another notorious fraudster. Now, Frank Delam Cunningham is the brother of John Cunningham, who's the partner in crime of Christy Kinahan. I hope I'm not confusing you. I'm just laying out the track of where these people are. So he specialised for quite a few years and was very often bragged about it, involved in fraud. Now, fraud at that time... People of a certain age will remember this past. There was such a thing one time as checks and bank drafts, and before the cyber space was created and you had electronic transfers, he specialised in either altering and forging checks and bank drafts, and that was the stock and trade of his business. There's one story comes to mind. At one stage, like, he was always on the lookout for scams, and he would take money, he would pay people money for ideas and information, because that was the stock and trade of serious criminals like him. So one time he got a scam together where he could steal checks, bags of mail destined for the Collector General's office. Now, these would invariably contain checks and bank drafts payable to the Collector General. Now, he robbed a load of these checks, and what he did was he altered the words from Collector General to look like Colette Gerhard, which was endorsed then by this fictitious, obviously German lady who had an address, believe it or not, at the German embassy. Now, he claimed that he got by over £2 million out of that scam. I would say that's like Trainer, he couldn't lie straight in his bed, but I say he did extract a huge amount of money at the behest of, or at the cost of the Collector General at the time, but it probably wouldn't have been as big as 2 million. But they were the kind of things he got up to. And then he was into receiving stolen goods and all of that kind of thing. And then he gets involved very closely with Martin Cahill. He becomes, mafia parlance, the consigliere to Martin Cahill. And they were always referred to as the odd couple. And for example, it was he who got the information, the basic information that was used and took part in the intricate planning of the O'Connor's jewellery robbery. Yeah. This was in 1983. It was a huge haul. It was the biggest haul ever stolen at the time. It was diamonds, gold, jewels. And the O'Connor's jewellery robbery job was, as I say, the biggest robbery yet recorded in Ireland. But he organised that. 3 years later, he also organised, by the way, the disposal of the loot as well from that. And then he was very much involved in the organisation of the bike painting robbery with Cahill, which brought the gang nothing but bad luck, and he always would say that himself. and that was one of the biggest art heists in the world. Then, towards the late 80s, when this Cahill's people come under the eye, and the Gardaí basically break up a lot of Martin Cahill's gang, Trainer finds himself being charged with possession of stolen goods or receiving stolen goods, which, believe it or not, were in a shop he owned, which were delivered and supplied by his old friend John Gillian, who at that time was running the factory gang. so he got out of town. He knew he was facing a fairly serious charge here and time in prison. So he went to the UK, and of course he got back involved in crime. And about in 1990, he was arrested as part of this very major criminal conspiracy where tens of millions of pounds of Bank of England treasury bonds had been stolen. And Trainer was the central player in that, trying to offload them with a Swiss bank in Switzerland. Now, they were caught by the City of London police, and he got 5 years for that. So he's in the nick in England, and he has to try and work a way of getting home. So what he does is, and this is what leads me to one of the most high-profile cases we've ever heard of in this country, Father Niall Molloy murder case, which I know you know plenty about, Pat. Mm-hmm. He came home he's given trustee status in this prison, an open prison in the UK, after a few years. And he came home about 1992 for home leave with the permission of the UK Home Office. And himself and Cahill sat down, and Cahill said he needed him back because most of his gang were behind bars. So he had himself and Trainer had to work out a way that he could stay at home and not get nicked and end up in Mountjoy with the rest of the lads. So what they did was they made an offer to the guards, and that was, if you may recall, Martin Cahill famously robbed some of the most sensitive crime files in the state at the time from the offices of the DPP as part of his campaign against the Irish state. Now, Cahill never, ever in his life would speak to a guard or give them any information. But on this occasion, he agreed to get the file concerning the suspicious death, for want of a better description, of Father Niall Molloy, and returned the file to the guards. And as a result of that, the guards dropped the charges against Trainer, and Trainer was a free man. And that's where, around that period of time, that's where we see the paradigm shift in organised crime, where the criminals, like the likes of Trainer, all start looking towards the drug business. His mate comes out of prison in 1993, John Gilligan, and the two of them set about organising the biggest drug trafficking network yet seen in Irish history.
What an extraordinary story, and it ultimately led to the death of Veronica Guerin, and yet John Trainer, after such a life, dies in his bed of cancer. No one would have expected him to go that stretch, but he did indeed, and died, as I say, in his bed. Paul Williams, whose new book is simply called Gilligan, thank you very much for joining us to talk about John Trainer.
A new year is full of surprises, but one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services. So when postage goes up, your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com is like your own personal post office, wherever you are. You can even take care of orders on the go with the mobile app. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Schedule package pickups, automatically find the cheapest and fastest shipping options, and seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. There's even a supply store where you can stock up on mailing supplies, labels, even printers. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. All you need is a computer or phone and printer. Take a chunk out of your mailing and shipping costs this year with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com code PROGRAM.